And that, my friends, was a special guest appearance from Lila the Bernice Mountain Dog. What a good girl. Welcome, everybody, to the latest episode of the Class Act Podcast. I am your host, yours truly, Barry McCockiner. And, well, it's been a busy week one in the NFL, and I'll just start off with the biggest news, and that is Antonio Brown is signing with the New England Patriots. And to be quite honest with you, as America's number one Patriots and Tom Brady hater, I don't really care about it as much as I probably should. It's like what does it matter at this point? What's the difference really between a sixth and seventh Super Bowl? You know, like the Patriots, they already win almost all the time anyway. So really, like, you know, I mean, sure, it sucks, but, you know, it doesn't, I mean, we saw it on Sunday night. The Patriots just kicked the Steelers' ass by 30 points without Antonio Brown. So it's like, to me, it doesn't, football really isn't like basketball where, you know, you can add a player like maybe Kevin Durant to the Warriors and it kind of just tips it to be unfair. And certainly adding Antonio Brown, if he stays in the straight and narrow, is obviously a big get because he's one of the greatest receivers ever. But, like, to me, it's and maybe because 2007 happened and we saw how that ended and everybody back then thought that team was unbeatable, and obviously we all know they ended up getting beaten in the Super Bowl, but, like, to me, this the Patriots team, the Patriots were going to be great anyway because they're playing one of the weakest schedules in the league. They already, without Antonio, they still have one of the deepest receiving corps in the league. They got, you know, a Super Bowl MVP, Julian Edelman, who's literally unguardable in the slot. You got a drug addict like Josh Gordon, who's an incredibly talented drug addict, who's incredibly athletic, who gets open a lot. You have a power running game with a guy like Sony Michel. You have a magician like James White, who can get 8 yards on a catch out of the backfield at will, it seems like. And, you know, it's like, then you got the Belichick defense, which is always top 10. And now this defense looks like it could be one of the best for the Patriots. So the Patriots were already going to win 13 games or 13 plus games anyway. So really with Antonio Brown, the way I look at it is maybe he could somehow act like a team cancer and actually hinder him. So who knows? But again, you know, it in terms of the actual on-field play, I wasn't really as affected by it as a lot of other people, even though it was probably premeditated and it was orchestrated ahead of time on the field. I just hate the fact that, like, Patriots fans, and this is, I'm biased because I have a personal history with a ton of Patriots fans on Twitter and absolutely horrific things that they have said and still do say to me. So I hate seeing them be successful, but, like, it really does suck. And I've said it before, seeing the Patriots reward their fans with the greatest dynasty in NFL history and maybe sports history, it's like seeing a pedophile win the lottery. It's just the least deserving people getting rewarded over and over and over and over again. And it's really been this way for almost 20 years now, ever since the Patriots dynasty started. And honestly, it doesn't look like it's going to come to an end anytime soon, because we all know that the Patriots are going to win at least 12 games this year, and that's being very conservative. There's really no reason, if Antonio Brown stays on the straight and narrow, that they can't go 16-0. There really isn't any reason. Their toughest games are on the road against Philly and at home against Kansas City. Those are really the only two games I could reasonably see them losing this year. And really, out of those two teams, Kansas City is the only team I think that has enough offensive firepower to stay anywhere near New England in a barnstormer in a shootout. You know, and that brings me to, since obviously it's week one, I'm going to go over all of the week one games. I'm going to give a little blurb, give you a little opinion on what happened, and because I'm already talking about it, I might as well start with the Steelers and Patriots game. And It's gonna be another long year of people fawning over Tom Brady for being 42 and for completing passes that an 85-year-old geriatric could make. I mean, again, week one, last night, not last night, but Sunday night against the Steelers was a perfect example. And I tweeted about it. His stat line looked phenomenal. You know, 24 of 36, 341 yards, 3 touchdowns, 125 passer rating. Again, amazing numbers. And he threw like maybe, what, 2 or 3 throws that required any difficulty at all. Now, this is the part that's really fucking annoying to me, is when people purposely miss my point. My point is not that Tom Brady shouldn't throw to open receivers, or that he should try to throw turnovers. The point is that he gets to throw to wide open receivers all the time, and that it's not impressive. It does not require a talented quarterback. The Patriots system does not require a talented quarterback to execute. And we have evidence of this. We have proof of this. It's not just me theorizing shit. We have actual evidence of this. A high school QB replaced Brady, and the Pats still won 11 games, still had a top 8 offense, led the league in first downs. Again, we have proof of this. The Pats, when Brady got caught cheating in 2016, they went 3-1 without him. They beat a playoff team by 27 points with a rookie third stringer quarterback. So, again, the Patriots system is so amazing. And yet, every single year, every single week, we have to listen to how Tom Brady is the second coming of Christ because he's able to complete throws that a high school quarterback can make. It's so annoying. And the fact that Tom Brady's cultish fan base, who are obnoxious cockstains, are so just arrogant and self-fulfilling, just jackasses. That, oh, you know, every single time Brady completes a throw to a receiver that's not open by at least 15 yards, I got at least 100 Patriots fans with Brady Avies in my mentions. I thought Brady couldn't throw the deep ball, huh? Yeah, fucking loser. You know, that's Mikey from Southeast in my mentions after every, you know, not completely, you know, easy throw that Tom Brady makes. It's just, it's so fucking annoying. So I cannot wait until that pseudo science peddling pedophile retires for good. Because I'm telling you, at least 20 to 25 other quarterbacks could replace Brady right now, and the Pats would still be the favorite to win the AFC. The real question is, like, what quarterback wouldn't be able to put up big numbers with the Patriots supporting cast? Really, who wouldn't? I guarantee you Ryan Leaf or Jamarcus Russell could win 10 games with this team. Are they as good as Tom Brady? No. But again, this season is going to be more reasons why, when you see Tom Brady get praised this year, it's just going to be more and more reason and more evidence for why he's overrated. And I'm willing to die on this hill, and I know I've gone on this rant before, and I hate to kind of beat, you know, a dead horse, so to speak, but as long as Tom Brady's playing, and as long as Tom Brady is in the national spotlight, and people are sucking his dick for doing basic shit, I'm going to be there to tell the truth about it. And if you don't like it, hey, tough shit. You know, you don't have to follow me on Twitter. You can mute me, you can block me, and yet you still come into my mentions crying like a little bitch. Like, okay, you say I'm a loser, you say I'm a virgin, all the insults I've heard 1,000 times before. Why do you care so much about what I have to say? You know why you care? Because you know I'm right. That's why all of my in-depth breakdowns for Tom Brady do so well, and I have hundreds of Patriots fans in my mentions every time I do one of them. You know why? Because they know I'm right. They know what I'm saying is true, and they're in denial about it. I don't just spew shit just for saying it. I actually give evidence. I give visual and photographic evidence to support my points. You know, and Patriots fans just can't handle it. That's just a fact. So as long as Tom Brady is getting undue praise, and he gets a lot of it, I'm going to be there to tell the truth about him. And if you don't like it, then go fuck yourself, because I'm not going to change. Doesn't matter how many times I get suspended. Doesn't matter what Twitter does to my account. I'm always going to be back to tell the truth. And that's just a fact. As for the actual game, there wasn't really much to talk about. Patriots basically dominated from the start. Oh, before I go any farther, I just want to reiterate this so I'm perfectly clear. I am not trolling. I am not being sarcastic. Tom Brady is the most overrated player that I've ever seen in any sport. And NFL football will be much better when he retires. Because he's a cheater. He's a fraud. He's an overrated system QB. He's the luckiest athlete ever. And also he's makes out with kids, which is just absolutely disgusting. So when he is gone, and his fans deserve nothing but pain and suffering. When you, if you've seen the shit that they send me every day, you would feel the way I feel. They deserve nothing but pain and suffering. So I relish the day Tom Brady retires and they cry. It'll be amazing. And so I can't wait for that bitch to retire because it's going to be awesome. Anyway, I just had to get that out there. I just had to clear the air. So now let's go back to the actual game. Another fucking shit show by the Steelers in New England. Big Ben was horrible. The receivers were horrible. Everything, every single phase of the game the Steelers had was horrible. Mike Tomlin, I said Mike Tomlin to me is like Mark Jackson with the Golden State Warriors if Mark Jackson had never gotten fired. You know, Mike Tomlin has a Super Bowl. He has a Super Bowl ring, which he basically won with Bill Cowher's players. He's had a Hall of Fame quarterback his entire career as a coach. So, you know, that's why his winning percentage looks great. But it seems like the team doesn't get any better. Seems like the team's always constantly losing games they should lose and loses big games handily to teams like the Patriots, on the road at least. They won at home last year against the Patriots, but, you know, I mean, a blind squirrel, you know, finds a nut every now and then, you know what I mean? So, yeah, I mean, when it comes to the Steelers, their outlook, I mean, who knows? I already previewed all these teams in the last podcast episode, but that was certainly not a good opening act. You know, Big Ben, he needs to get better. And the fact, you know, all the idiots that said that the Steelers wouldn't miss Antonio Brown on the field, at least, look like just that. They look like idiots. So, moving on to the next game I'm going to preview, or at least not preview, duh, I'm going to review, is the Thursday night game, the kickoff game. The game between the Green Bay Packers and the Chicago Bears. This was an absolutely horrific game. It was like the Super Bowl last year. It was like watching a replay of the Super Bowl. The Packers won 10-3. Mitch Trubisky was absolute dog shit. Aaron Rodgers really wasn't, he wasn't horrible, but he wasn't good. I wouldn't say he was good either. But again, at least in Aaron Rodgers' case, you have a guy who's, it's his first game with Matt LaFleur with like a new coach and a new system, and he's playing on the road against probably the best defense in the league. So there was a little bit more reason for that. So there's a little bit more of an excuse for that. Although I will say, you know, if the Packers had lost this game, everything right now for at least the next 9 days or so, the week and a half, is hunky-dory in Packerland. But if the Packers had lost that game, people would be talking way more about Aaron Rodgers still taking way too many sacks, no homo. It's the same issues that he had in the previous years. And as an unabashed Aaron Rodgers stan, like I am, I gotta be honest, it's frustrating. It was like watching the same, movie over and over again. And some of those sacks that he took on Thursday night were just bad blocking. But still, there was a couple instances where you'd like to see him get rid of the ball. And he's incredibly frustrating to watch because the last, I don't know whether it's because he's had injuries to his collarbone, and I know last year he was injured, but it's frustrating because it seems like a few drives every single game, you still see the unreal MVP caliber Aaron Rodgers. And we saw it on the touchdown drive where he had that like 54-yard bomb to Scalding. And it was an amazing play. And the offense looked amazing. It looked unstoppable on that drive. And then it goes back the next few drives of, you know, getting behind the sticks and taking a sack on third down. It's just, it's like a card that's stopped and starting. It's just, there's no consistency there. And it's the same. Now, again, it's the first game with Matt LaFleur. So, you know, there's still, you're not going to call it a failure or a success based on one game. But if Aaron Rodgers is still, you know, holding on to the ball and being hesitant by midseason, despite the fact that Matt LaFleur has been there now for half season at that point, I'd be legitimately concerned. So, and because I think football is a much better place when Aaron Rodgers is playing at a high level. It's just so fun to watch. And I hope Aaron Rodgers is able to do that. And I hope he's able to get back to being the same old. And again, it's not all Aaron Rodgers' fault. The talent around him has fallen off big time from earlier in his career. And I think that he's still one of the best quarterbacks in the league. And he's been highly successful in a situation where not many other quarterbacks would be in terms of scheme, in terms of lack of teammate support. You know, when Aaron Rodgers misses games, the Packers basically turn into the Browns. But, you know, I think it's time for Aaron Rodgers, you know, to show something. It's, you know, he doesn't have the injury excuse. He doesn't have Mike McCarthy. It's a big year for Aaron Rodgers. And, you know, he got away with one. His defense bailed him out. So now he has to really wake up and get back to playing like we all know he's capable of playing. And, you know, when it comes to the Bears, it was nothing that we hadn't seen before. Mitch Trubisky sucks. We all know that. We all know the Bears' defense is elite. And the Bears, despite their amazing defense, won't be taken really seriously as Super Bowl contenders unless either they move on from Mitch Trubisky or Mitch Trubisky gets a lot better. And, I mean, you know, quarterback is really just one of those positions where either you have it or you don't. There's only so much, a scheme can do for you. And Mitch Trubisky just doesn't have it. He's athletic, he's mobile, but he doesn't see the field well. He locks onto his first read. He's just not a very good quarterback. And, you know, that's the fact. So it's the same old story with the Bears. They have great defense held back by an anemic offense and a bad quarterback. You could say that about the 80s Bears when they had those great defenses. You could say it about the 2000s Bears when they had Rex Grossman and all those elite defenses with Urlacher and Lance Briggs, etc. It's the same story here, except with different players. All right. The next game I'll review is the Kansas City Chiefs win over the Jacksonville Jaguars. Really, for the Chiefs, it was pretty much just a continuation from last year. I mean, they scored 40 points. The Chiefs offense, and Mahomes is just, you know, Mahomes was just, again, he's unstoppable. If he stays healthy, you know, Mahomes is really the perfect, and it's worth mentioning, and it's worth mentioning that, you know, Mahomes is in a great situation, at least offensively. He has one of the best play callers in Andy Reid. He plays in a great scheme. He has offensive support. I mean, Alex Smith led the league in passer rating the year before Patrick Mahomes got there, you know, before Patrick Mahomes was a starter. So, you know, the Chiefs have surrounded Mahomes with a bunch of talent offensively. But when you take a guy with Mahomes' talent and you add that talent to the scheme, that's when you get a historically dominant offense like the Chiefs have. They lost Kareem Hunt last year. Doesn't matter. They're gonna lose Tyreek Hill this year for a few games. And it doesn't really matter as long as they got Mahomes. Because he's so dynamic. He has such a big arm. He sees the field so well. He improvises so well when the play breaks down. That really, it's almost, this offense is almost impossible to stop. I mean, they haven't scored under 26 points in any of Mahomes' 20 career starts. That's insane. I think that's the longest streak in NFL history. So, again, the first week really didn't do anything to change the opinion that the Chiefs are going to be a real threat. And it also showed that their defense is still a little bit of a work in progress because they gave up 26 points. And they made something called Gardner Minshew, am I saying that right? Look like, and again, to be fair, some of his touchdown passes were in garbage time, but they made a rookie in his first career NFL appearance look like an all-pro. So the Chiefs defense still looks a little bit questionable. And I feel horrible for Nick Foles. Nick Foles broke his collarbone. He's going to miss extended time. Really, Nick, you know, and obviously as an Eagles fan, I'll always have a soft spot for Big Dick Nick, and he seems like just such a really good guy, and it just really sucks what happened to him. So, again, Nick, if you're listening to this, you're probably not, but if you are by some chance, I hope you get well soon. You're always going to be loved by Eagles fans, and just in general, you just seem like a really good guy, seem like a down-to-earth guy, and it sucks that it has to happen to you. I wish it happened to Tom Brady instead. That's a guy who deserves nothing but shit, and you don't. So thank you, Nick Foles. Thank you, Nick Foles, for what you've done for Philadelphia and Eagles fans. So moving on now to the next game I'll talk about. Oh boy, the Tennessee Titans and the Cleveland Browns. The Titans completely kicked the ever-living shit out of Cleveland. 43-13. Holy fuck. I mean, Jesus. Again, if it was any other team but the Titans, it would probably be a bigger story. And like I said in my preview, the Titans are really just irrelevant. Nobody really cares about them. But, you know, considering all of the hype and all of the praise that the Browns were getting in the offseason and during preseason, you know, this was not a good start. And, I mean, it's the Browns. It's the Browns. The Browns have horrible karma. I said it before about the Knicks. I said it about the Jets or like teams like the Redskins. They all have horrible karma. And anything that can go wrong will go wrong. So that's why I compared this Browns team to the 2011 Eagles, you know, this quote-unquote super team that ended up going 8-8. Like, you would think that, oh, there's every reason to think that this Browns team, and who knows, they still might. But, you know, this was certainly humbling. But you have every reason to believe that this Browns team is going to fall flat on their face because they're the Browns. And week one didn't do anything to dissuade that. And the best part about it is that the Titans, they absolutely went in there, they kicked the Browns' ass, and they'll probably finish 9-7 anyway, and nobody will end up remembering shit about their season. Let's move on to the next game. The Los Angeles Rams, they beat the Carolina Panthers 30-27. I just want to give the Rams a round of applause for finally scoring more than 3 points. Way to go, you fucking assholes. You couldn't have done this in the Super Bowl. Really? You couldn't have fucking done this in the Super Bowl? You couldn't have scored 14 points in the Super Bowl? I'm not asking for 30. I'm not asking for 30 or 25 or even 20. You couldn't have scored 14 little points in the Super Bowl? You can only put up 3? Oh, fuck you. God, this is making me mad. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to lose my cool there, but everybody knows I hate the Patriots. And this was certainly not... It was a little bit of PTSD for me. Anyway, the Rams won 30-27. I want to reiterate that Cam Newton is really not a good quarterback. He's an amazing athlete. He scored, you know, he's a historically dominant running quarterback, but as a passer, you know, which by the way is pretty important for playing quarterback position. He's outside of 2015 when he won his MVP. There's not much there. He's basically Andy Dalton as a passer. And people just don't get it. I don't understand why. But anyway, the newly rich Jared Goff really didn't have a good performance anyway, and the Rams still won. So, I mean, I think the Rams signing Jared Goff to a big extension contract is a very risky move because I don't think Goff is great. I think that he's very good within his scheme. And, you know, once the play breaks down, he gets exposed, and I don't think he's anything special. But I think that, you know, the Rams have the genius of Sean McVay. They'll still be fine. So that explains that. Moving on to the next game, which is my favorite game of the week, the Eagles, my Eagles, fly Eagles, fly motherfucker, beat the Washington Redacted 32-27. This was an interesting game because the Washington Redacted got off to a 17-0 lead in the first half, and they were basically kicking the Eagles' ass, and Carson Wentz wasn't looking so hot, and all the Carson Wentz haters were coming out of the woodwork to shit on him, and Carson Wentz just said, you know what, fuck you, I'm going to throw these deep bombs to DeSean Jackson, who, it turns out, is not a gang member like Chip Kelly thought he was when he released him back in 2014. And DeSean Jackson's back home where he belongs, and he scored 2 long touchdown passes, and Carson Wentz looked unbelievable, and they won. Although I still say, as an Eagles fan, Doug Peterson's play calling on third down sometimes still annoys me, and early on in the game it did. Ronald Darby also still annoys me. He's toast. He's complete toast. Every single time I watch Ronald Darby, he's getting his ass kicked by a receiver, and it was the same story. I mean, the concern moving forward is for the Eagles that they made Case Keenum look like an all-pro at times. The saving grace is that Carson Wentz looks like he's back to form. Now, again, it's 1 week. It's against not a very good defense, but the way Carson Wentz was moving in and out of the pocket, the way he was improvising, he's a special player. And I know people joke about the injuries and, oh, yeah, they won a Super Bowl without him. How can he be good? Blah, 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 blah. We've heard it all before. He's a fucking legit player, man. He's legit. He makes so many plays off schedule that it's like Russell Wilson. It's like Rodgers. It's like Mahomes. Now, do I think he's as good as a guy like Mahomes? No. Do I think he still doesn't have that consistency that Mahomes has? But he has kind of those flashes where you go, holy fuck, this guy just makes amazing plays out of the pocket. And that's something you can't teach. That's something that's not a system player. And Wentz, he is a boss. So I really hope he stays healthy. And if he stays healthy, I don't see any reason why he can't be in the MVP conversation. He's that good. Let's move on now to one of the worst games of the week, which was the Bills against the Jets. I mean, this is like, you know, a bronze medal game. It's between two teams that have absolutely no chance in hell of winning their division. It's been that way really for the last 20 years. In terms of the actual quality of play in the game, it was also really shitty. I think the Bills had 4 turnovers, and the Jets weren't able to capitalize on it. Sam Darnold completed 28 passes and didn't even reach 200 passing yards, so he was dinking and dunking. Darnold, to me, and again, I don't know if I've said this before on the podcast, but I know I've definitely said it before on Twitter. I never have quite understood the hype around Darnold. Like, even at USC, he was always a guy that every single time I watched him at USC, he didn't jump out to me as a freak athlete with a giant arm. He was turnover prone. I'd never, like at least with Josh Allen isn't good, but you see the athletic ability. You see the rocket arm. Like, you can see the attributes that would say, all right, maybe we can mold this guy into something. With Darnold, besides the fact that he's really young, like, I've never really seen that. So, again, as a guy who wants to see the Patriots get dethroned, I hope that Allen and Darnold turn out to be really good. But, again, I don't see it happening. Yet still, you got to give props to, you don't have to give props to either of these teams. Because at the end of the day, at the end of the year, they're going to be irrelevant. As long as the Patriots are there, they're going to be irrelevant. And that's just a fact. So it's hard to really get excited about any of these games between the Bills and Jets, or the Dolphins and Bills, or the Dolphins and Jets, because they're all fighting for second place at best. And hey, at least Josh Allen is really fun to watch. He's probably the best bad quarterback, or the most fun bad quarterback to watch. I love watching him play because you just don't know what's going to happen. Moving on to the next game, which was, the Vikings and the Falcons. This was, I think, probably one of the most overlooked games of the week. You didn't really hear much about it. It was just kind of there, just kind of happened. The Vikings won 28-12, a surprisingly anemic offensive performance by the Falcons. The Falcons really have too much talent offensively to be this bad. They just do. It really seems like ever since 28-3 that their offense has just not matched their talent level. And their defense really isn't anything to write home about either. This may have just been a bad showing. And again, I didn't watch this game. I didn't really see any highlights of it. So I really don't have much comments for it. There wasn't really any notable things to happen in this game. I'm just going to say that I'm glad that nobody was seriously injured and that all of the players stood for the national anthem. So good job, guys. Now, here's a game that was certainly talked about a lot. it was the Ravens versus the Dolphins, and the Ravens beat the ever-loving fuck out of the Dolphins 59-10. Now, the big story was Lamar Jackson had one of the greatest statistical performances in NFL history by a quarterback. 17 of 20 for 324 yards. And how many touchdowns? Five? He took five touchdowns. Just incredible. Even Robert Griffin III got in on the act and threw another touchdown pass in garbage time. 59 points. Jesus Christ. And the Dolphins are actively tanking this year. They are going to be probably the worst team in the league. Now, the big story after the game was, you know, the Ravens fans and Lamar Jackson are all coming out saying, oh, well, looks like you guys were all wrong about Lamar Jackson not being very good. And it's just like, well, I mean, it's one game against the worst team in the league. And certainly Lamar Jackson had some really, really good throws in week one. And again, I want to clarify that I want to see the Patriots get dethroned. Okay, I want to see the Patriots lose. So the more good players on other AFC teams, the happier I am. So I am rooting for Lamar Jackson to become good. And yet, we don't know. I mean, it's going to take more than one game against a team that's deliberately trying to lose games for me to change my opinion of him. Now, if he keeps playing like the way he did, or at least even close to the way he did, for a few more games, like he did against Miami, then hey, maybe you take a closer look and say, you know, maybe he's really improved. But again, it's going to take a more sample size. It's going to take a bigger sample size for me to really be persuaded to change my opinion on Lamar Jackson. I still think he's limited as a passer, and it's going to take more than one game to change my opinion. As I've alluded to several times, the Dolphins are just a fucking disgrace. The Dolphins are just yet another example of AFC East ineptitude. And Patriots fans, they get all fucking arrogant and rowdy whenever they shit their diapers whenever you talk about how bad the AFC East is. The AFC East is just horrific. And, you know, this is just more evidence of it. And it's embarrassing. And it should be against the law. It really should. It's just embarrassing. In fact, the more I talk about it, the more nauseated I get. So I'm going to have to move on to another game. Let's move on to the Seahawks against the Cincinnati Bengals. This was an interesting game. This was a close game. Seahawks barely won. They squeaked out a win 21-20. The big story was, there really wasn't any big story in this game except the fact that DK Metcalf, I guess, had a few catches, that, you know, Andy Dalton had a Hail Mary. But again, it's the Bengals, and it's Andy Dalton, and, you know, Russell Wilson, again, was a little inconsistent. He took a lot of sacks. Kind of the same story from years past, but he snuck out with a win, got out with a win. Jadeveon Clowney made his debut for the Seahawks. He had a sack, which I guess is good, and I still say that even though Jadeveon Clowney is obviously a good player, he hasn't quite reached the dominant status that was expected of him. He was picked first overall back in 2014, at least in my opinion. So, again, it was a close game. It was a good game. But at least it's more important, really, for the Seahawks, because the Bengals aren't going to be in the running for anything important by the end of the season. So it was a good win for Seattle. But it seems like, just kind of like with Green Bay and Aaron Rodgers, it seems like Russell Wilson is still prone to taking too many sacks, and that offense is still a little bit inconsistent. But hey, you win the game, you're happy, you move on. And I'm going to move on to the next game, which is the Indianapolis Colts versus the LA Chargers. This was an overtime game. The Chargers ended up squeaking out a win 30-24. This was a lot closer than expected, especially just coming a few weeks after the Colts lost their franchise quarterback. Jacoby Brissett actually played pretty well. The Colts' offense was not the reason why they lost this game. It seems like, as with everything Chargers, it seems like we've seen this game for the last 15 years or so, where it's like tied 24 late in the game and the Chargers are trying to score the game-winning drive. The real loser of this game wasn't the Colts. It was Melvin Gordon, who was sitting on his ass at home watching one of his replacements tear up the Colts and basically making him lose his entire self-esteem And I'm sure that he's probably saying, damn, I probably shouldn't have held out because now people are seeing that I'm not really valuable to my team. And it's also worth noting that the Chargers have probably the worst, quote-unquote, home field advantage in the league. So take this road game for the Colts with a little bit of grain of salt, because really nobody in Los Angeles gives a fuck about football, especially about the Chargers. So you got to kind of take it with a grain of salt. But regardless, it was a good showing, really, for the Colts. They should be proud of themselves, even though they lost. You know, I'm gonna give them a gold star. I'm gonna hang up a gold star on my refrigerator for the Colts. I know it's not as good as a win, but still, it's just something to recognize their hard work. Moving on to the next game, quote unquote, America's game of the week: the Dallas Cowboys versus the New Jersey Midgets. And folks, I'm as an Eagles fan, I'm kind of happy that the Cowboys completely kicked the shit out of the Giants, because now, for sure, Dak Prescott is going to get a major contract. Dak Prescott was throwing to wide-open receivers all game long. The play calling was great. He basically feasted against a horrible defense, and the stats look great, so now Dak is going to get a huge contract, and I'm so happy about that. Really, the Giants look like complete dog shit. The only thing interesting about the Giants is whether or not they're going to stick with Eli Manning the entire season. I don't know. I mean, Eli's not going to get injured because he never gets injured. But we don't know if it'll be a coaching change. I mean, that consecutive start streak isn't there anymore. So it shouldn't be a hard decision for the Giants to bench Eli. But Eli wasn't really horrible in this game. So, I mean, he wasn't great by any means, but he wasn't horrible. Like, he wasn't the reason why the Giants lost. It was really the defense. So, there's that. There's also the fact that, the Giants completely forget that they got Saquon Barkley. Like, Saquon Barkley would break off a 50-yard run, which is amazing, and then he won't touch the ball again on the same drive. So, thankfully, Giants coaches are too stupid to realize that they got Saquon Barkley. So, if they were smart, they would give Saquon the ball more, because he's by far their best offensive player. But thankfully, they aren't very smart. As for the Cowboys, they're going to give Dak a giant contract, and they most certainly will regret it in the future. I don't think Dak is bad, but he's not special, and a lot of his production on Sunday really happened and was on plays that were well-designed and nothing really that was due to skill. And although he did have a few nice throws, he had a nice touchdown pass, so I got to give him credit there. But I think giving him a giant contract is going to be a mistake. But the Cowboys are going to do it. And Jared Jones is going to make sure to do that. So you go, Jerry. And by the way, it's worth noting that the Cowboys have just 4 playoff wins in the last 23 years. What a fucking joke of a franchise. They have to put in VCS tapes to rewatch their last championship. It's embarrassing. Tupac was still alive the last time the Cowboys won a big game. That is absolutely hilarious, and it's just I just got to remind that. What isn't hilarious, though, is that they get fucking 8 national TV games every year because they have a giant ass fan base, and they're one of the most overrated franchises in sports, maybe the most overrated franchise in sports that's living off past glory. If you're a Cowboys fan under the age of 35, you don't even talk about rings because you weren't even around to remember the last time the Cowboys won a big game. Moving on to here's the next game. It ended in a tie. The Lions and the Cardinals. And the fact that it even ended in a tie is pretty incredible, considering the fact that the Lions were up, I think, by 21 points at one point. They were up at, let me check here. No, they were up 24-6 early in the fourth quarter, before Kyler Murray, who, by the way, is the same height as Game of Thrones actor Peter Dinklage, ended up catching fire and actually gave the Cardinals the lead in overtime before the Lions went back and tied the game again. Before I talk about anything that had to do with the game, I just got to reiterate that ties are the stupidest fucking thing in football, okay? First of all, it makes the entire game feel worthless. You play 60 minutes of regulation, then you play 10 minutes of overtime. I don't know why the overtime was lowered from 15 to 10 minutes. So basically, you've played 70 minutes of football. You've gone through all this hard work and all this effort to try and find a winner, and then you just say, oh, fuck it, we just got to move on. Really? What the hell? Like, it makes the entire thing feel pointless. It makes the entire game feel pointless. This was a game that was thrilling and had a great comeback and deserved to have a winner. And yet, now it's like, now it looks as a tie. It's just, we're in 2019 and we still have this shit. Like, why? Why do we have it? It's just so fucking annoying. Anyway, when it comes to the actual game, I'm telling you, like I alluded to early on, Kyler Murray did not look good. He looked like shit early on. He was getting his passes batted down all over the place, and then he caught fire in the fourth. You know, Matt Stafford does what Matt Stafford does. He puts up big numbers against shitty teams, and that's what the Cardinals are. But, you know, again, both of these teams by the end of the year aren't going to be playing for anything important, so it's really hard to take anything big away from this, except it's hilarious that, again, it's hilarious that the Cardinals head coach had a losing record as a head coach in college with Baker Mayfield and Patrick Mahomes. I just want to reiterate that. So, I mean, again, like I said, it's the Lions, and Matthew Stafford, really, he's in his 11th season, and he still hasn't really won any important games. So, again, it's hard to really get excited or take away too much from this, except the fact that, actually, Stafford almost lost the game. He almost threw an interception, or at least a pass that should have been intercepted but dropped, which would have cost the Lions the game in overtime, but he got away with it. Again, I didn't watch this game live, but you know, it was exciting to watch the highlights of it. And I think Kyler Murray, he's really fun to watch, even though he's 4'5". It's really inspiring to see a midget on the field. Moving on to the next game, between the San Francisco 49ers and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And boy, this was an ugly fucking game, especially for Jameis Winston. And I just want to start by saying, same thing kind of with Sam Darnold. I'd never really understood the hype for Jameis Winston, even when he was at FSU. He had a great year when he won the Heisman, and then the year after that, he threw like 18 interceptions. He was turnover prone at FSU. Again, he wasn't like a super freakish athlete. He wasn't particularly mobile. He didn't have like a rocket elite arm. And so I never understood, and that's not even talking about all the off-field issues that he had. So I never quite understood why he was so highly touted. And thus far, this is his fifth year. He hasn't done anything to show why he was worth the number one overall pick. I mean, he was horrible. Absolutely horrible. And, you know, his counterpart in this game, Jimmy Garoppolo, didn't look very good either. He got bailed out by his defense on several occasions. And really, he didn't look good at all. And it's, again, it's just, you know, it's kind of weird. And Garoppolo is secretly, he's facing a lot of, he's the pressure's on. Because the 49ers, if he doesn't perform well this year, the 49ers can cut him loose. They can cut him loose. So, and they'll still have, you know, and they'll have a guy like Nick Mullins, who at least last year produced similar numbers to Garoppolo did the year before, and Nick Mullins is way cheaper. So the 49ers, after this year, if they want, they can get out of Garoppolo's contract. So, and the first game of the year wasn't a great thing for Garoppolo, who looks to be like another example of a guy who benefited from being in the Patriots system, kind of like a Matt Castle. But again, time will tell. But at least he's handsome, so he has that going for him. Let's go to the Monday night games. The first Monday night game was probably the best game of the week. It was the Texans and the Saints. The Saints ended up winning on a last-second field goal, 30-28. This coming after an absolutely amazing last drive by Deshaun Watson to take back the lead. The Texans ended up actually tying the game at 27 on an amazing drive by Deshaun Watson with under a minute left. And then the kicker missed the extra point, but got bailed out by running into the kicker call and then made the extra point. And then Deshaun Watson saw his defense blow the lead because they went into some stupid fucking prevent defense on the last drive. Deshaun Watson has 35 starts in his career, and in five of those, he's thrown a go-ahead touchdown pass in the fourth quarter and lost. That's insane. For reference, Tom Brady has four in his entire career. In 308 starts, he has four. Peyton Manning in his career had four such games. Drew Brees actually had, I think, 15 of these, which is the most all time. So for once, something went in Breeze's favor late in a close game. No Minneapolis miracle, nothing like that. No Alex Smith to Vernon Davis shit happening here. But this was an awesome game. The Texans still have the same protection issues. Remember, kids, use protection, okay? I know it doesn't feel good. I know it feels kind of like, you know, you're just kind of dipping your dick into water when you have a condom on. But please, use protection. You don't want to get AIDS. You don't want to get HIV. Trust me. I've been down, no, I haven't been down that road before. But still, it's not a good thing. You do not want it. I'm 100% anti-HIV and AIDS. They are very, very bad. So use a condom. I know it smells like a NASCAR event after 5 minutes, but you just got to put up with it for your own safety. All right? All right? Am I clear on that? Okay, thank you. Anyway, back to the game. The offensive line for the Texans is still a mess. It's going to be interesting to see whether or not Deshaun Watson, how his career turns out, because he's a supremely talented player, but his offensive line sucks ass. And some of that, to be honest, some of that is probably because he holds on to the ball too long, and he has to fix that, but he's certainly not helped out by his offensive line. And he's a special talent, so I hope he ends up staying healthy and having a great career. The second Monday Night Football game, and the last game to talk about for the week, was the Oakland Raiders versus the Denver Broncos. The Raiders ended up winning 24-16 in their first game after the Antonio Brown circus left town. This was a pretty mundane game. I mean, you know, again, this is between two teams that by the end of the year aren't going to have really anything to play for. And if you're an Oakland fan, you got to be kind of pissed though that you realize this is the last year in Oakland before they move to Vegas. If you're a Broncos fan, you're probably even more pissed because it's kind of like the same story ever since winning the Super Bowl. Even the year they won the Super Bowl, the Broncos offense wasn't very good. They got carried by historically great defense. The Broncos haven't had a good offense in almost half a decade now. So and just by the looks of it, their head coach is a 61-year-old guy who fucking kicked a field goal, I believe, down 15 in the fourth quarter. So, I mean, that's that type of offensive innovation just doesn't work out in the NFL. I'm sorry, it doesn't work. It's so fucking stupid. So it already looks like John Elway botched another hire. They don't have a good quarterback. Flacco is ass cheeks. He still is. Honestly, if Raheem Moore didn't fuck up, Joe Flacco probably wouldn't even be in the league right now. He's really bad. But, you know, Derek Carr played well, surprisingly. Again, it's hard to come up with storylines for week one because there's such a small sample size. So I'm trying my best to kind of give a review. So I'm going to try and go over, I think I'm going to give the game ball of the week, and I'm going to do this every week. I'm going to talk about who I thought was the best quarterback, who was the worst quarterback. I'm going to give the game ball of the week to Lamar Jackson, even though he was playing against a team that's deliberately trying to lose games. I mean, he had 5 touchdown passes, 3 incompletions. It doesn't get much better than that. And several of his touchdown passes were really, really long throws that were really beautiful. So he gets the game ball of the week. The worst quarterback of the week award goes to Jameis Winston. And I want to reiterate that I'm not racist. I did not pick Jameis Winston for this because he's black. Again, that has nothing to do with it. I'm not a racist. I absolutely hate racism. But Jameis Winston was horrible. It was really, really close between him and Mitch Trubisky. But Winston actively hurt his team with the turnovers that he had. 2 pick sixes. Just absolutely horrific play by Jameis Winston. And Winston was supposed to, you know, he was supposed to be new and improved with Bruce Arians there now, a head coach. And he just completely fell flat on his face. And, you know, he's also a rapist. And you can't forget that part when talking about Jameis Winston. He's not a good quarterback, but he's also a rapist. So really, he's not really good at anything. So he can just go fuck himself. The System QB of the Week award goes to Tom Brady of the New England Patriots. He's won this award every single week
for the last 19 years, and it's really remarkable his consistent success at winning this award. Just every week in and out, he's just the best system QB in the world. Just an incredible accomplishment. Congratulations, Tom. You won it again. Looking forward to next week. The Thursday night game is kind of boring. It's Tampa Bay at Carolina. It's a matchup between two African-American quarterbacks and Jameis Winston and Cam Newton. So at least racism is ending on Thursday night when those two play against each other. So I just want to congratulate the schedule makers on ending racism for putting this game together on Thursday Night Football. So that's going to be fun. Looking forward to week two, the highlight games are going to be the NFC Championship game rematch between the Saints and the Rams, although this time it's going to be in LA. Another highlight for me, at least, is going to be how many points will the Patriots beat the Dolphins by? Now, I don't really gamble. I don't gamble at all because I like to keep my money and I don't like to fuck with my money. But if I was a gambling man, I'm going to tell you that the point spread is not big enough for the Patriots. No matter what, I don't care if it's 99 points, if the Patriots are plus 99, it's not big enough. The Patriots could literally say they are forfeiting the game against the Dolphins and they would still win. That's how much better the Patriots are than the Dolphins. It's going to be a bloodbath. So I'm just going to watch that game just to see how horrible it gets. I mean, I think it's going to be like the 2007 game down there when the Patriots were up 42-7 in the first half and Brady had like six touchdowns in the first half. I think that's what it's going to be. I think that's what it's going to be like. It's going to be just an absolute blood show. And I say this knowing that New England always sucks in Miami. But I will literally eat a horse if the Dolphins somehow win this game. But they're not going to. New England's going to kick their ass. And obviously, as an Eagles fan, I'm going to be watching the Sunday night game between the Eagles and the Falcons. That's basically a preview for week two. The Monday night football game between the Browns and the Jets. I mean, the primetime games this week, really, besides the Eagles and Falcons, aren't really anything special. It's kind of a week. It's kind of a weak week, you know, a W-E-A-K-W-E-E-K. See, I just spelled that. See what I mean? I'm very smart. I'm a very smart guy. I just spelled two words. So for those of you who called me an idiot, take that, bitch. Anyway, so some personal news. If you haven't been following my new account, I know I get suspended every other week now. I have no control over it, folks. I have no control over Twitter suspending me. It's just some algorithm bullshit. I've tried putting a VPN in, and if that doesn't work, then I got all these Boston fans trying to mass report me and get me out of there. It doesn't work. I always end up coming back. So far, as of this recording, I'm at about 43,000 followers in almost a week on my new account, Sexy Troop Lover. If you want to check out some of the merchandise that I've had, I know it's real. The design isn't what matters. It's the message that matters. And I got some new TB12 system quarterback shirts that are really just amazing. And I always make sure to remind people to always look at my pinned tweet and to follow all the accounts I have listed there, because if you don't, then when I get suspended again, you're going to be thinking, where the fuck is Barry? If you follow those accounts, you'll know and you'll be updated, so you won't have to look around. I'm looking forward to another great podcast next week, and I just want to remind you all to stay classy and respect the troops. Oh, and P.S. Steph Curry still has zero Finals MVPs.